Chapter 3. Good things come to those that wait, even Fridays, in most cases. However, not everyone was a happy camper in the advanced composition class. And so, those folks would just have to wait a little longer for those good things. Glowing with anticipation of ruining the day for most of the students, the teacher rustled a handful of papers and stood waiting for them to settle down and listen. "I enjoyed your reports and poems so much that I knew I had to find a way to share them with you, so I had them copied with the names covered. Everyone will read someone else's poem. Let's begin with Zelgadis," the teacher said, holding out a paper. Zell sighed and looked over the poem, sighed again, and began to read. "Shafts of golden light beam down on me through forest trees. They warm my heart. I'm happy as a child of nature. But as others ravage our mother, they do so to me as well. My golden heart is tarnished with sorrow. But I sparkle still with hope that together we can save our mother and be happy together as her children." Zell sat down and buried his face in his arms on his desk. "I feel so dirty," he mumbled, so that only Lena could hear. Lena held in a laugh and snorted instead. "Thank you. Next, come get this, Lena," demanded the teacher, moving things along. Lena shook her head and grabbed the next poem. "Well, here goes. I hate that girl. She's always right. I'll never forgive her what she did that night. She's not so great. I'm twice as good. She's not so cute. I can't see what the guys see in her. She's much too short and kind of flat. I hate that girl. She'll wish she never hurt me that night." Lena looked at the teacher, then at Martina. Finally, she shrugged her shoulders and sat down. "There's one angry little girl," Lena whispered to Zell. "What did you do to her, anyway?" he whispered back. "Nothing. I don't get it," Lena answered. "Maybe it wasn't about you," he offered. "Yeah, right." They missed the next poem. The teacher called the next reader. "Zellos, please?" Zellos hopped to the teacher's desk, glanced over the poem, then, over the sound of a few snickers, began. "Anger flashes. Fireball. Something inside me ignites. Tears sting my eyes. Tears evaporate from the heat. The pain of the fire inside. Pain and sorrow. Hurt and sadness. Burnt to blackness. From my fireball." Zelos finished his dramatic reading, arm movements included, grinned at Lena, and returned to his desk. The class cheered or laughed. Zell gave Lena a thumbs up. Lena blushed and hid her face in her arms. Martina was up next. She stood, hand on hip, then began. "I'm lost in a sea of chaos. You don't know me, or want to. I reach out. You don't turn away, but you want to. I smile, but I hurt inside. You have others to entertain you. I'm just the clown, floating through a realm of destruction all around me. The pain of knowing how little you care feeds my darkening spirit. How much longer can I continue this way, just watching, waiting for my chance?" She stumbled through some of the phrasing, and her voice was a little shaky toward the end. Then she sat down. Zell looked at Lena, who shook her head. He looked around, saw Zelos, but he was just staring straight ahead. Zell whispered to Lena, "There's another scary kid." Another kid read a poem and sat down. The teacher called on Philia, your turn, please. Philia cleared her throat and began. Nothingness. Void. Darkness beyond twilight. Darkness beyond deepest night. No pain, no fear, no sorrow. Nothing. Nothing echoing through eternity. My dark heart. That's really depressing, snorted Philia, handing the paper back to the teacher. Good job, Zell. You grossed out Philia, whispered Lena. Like, that's hard, he murmured. The rest of the poems were read uneventfully, and the bell ended the torture with its merciful buzz. Why do teachers think we want to hear our crap read out loud, not to mention other people's inner feelings splayed out raw for everyone to see and criticize? Zell growled. Yeah, that would be, like, about the biggest insult someone could construct for you, isn't it, Zell? It's almost like actually discussing feelings with your fellow humans. Lena poked him in the ribs. Hey, you were as embarrassed and bored as I was. Actually, I was mostly creeped out. I really have to agree with you. Some of that stuff shouldn't have been said out loud. Kind of flat my ass. The nerve of that girl, whatever her name is. Lunch couldn't have come soon enough. It was as if all their teachers had gathered together and brainstormed new ways to torture them. Lena figured that if she thought of going into a military inquisitor kind of job, she'd have learned all of the horrifying techniques she needed to pry a confession out of grizzled war criminals there at school. She told Zelt so, and he quite agreed. It was actually a terrifying thought. Lena in mirrored sunglasses and a black suit, flashing those fangs of hers. We have ways of making you talk. He shuddered and tried to get that image out of his mind. Lena was pretty scary just in reality. He didn't have to imagine anything worse. Almost as one, the gathered Lena's people plunked themselves down around the table and tore into lunch. This time, Zell had treated himself to a bagel and a Snapple, though no one else's lunches had changed. Sylphiel pulled out a cellophane-wrapped loaf of banana bread to share. Whether sharing was her or Lena's decision, it had the same end result. Amelia was bursting with campaign news. You must all attend the assembly after lunch. There will be speeches and a pep rally, right, Miss Philia? And elections will be next Friday, so everyone plan to vote. You are aware we can only vote for our class president, not you? Asked Zell with the sensitivity of a meat axe.
Of course! That doesn't matter. What matters is that you vote to ensure you get the representation you deserve.
Gowrie turned to Sylphiel. So, what time are you coming over tonight? He asked. Zell choked. He couldn't believe it. What the hell was Gowrie doing? He looked rapidly from Gowrie to Lena. Lena must have heard, but she wasn't reacting.
At 6, like we planned, Gowrie dear.
Sylphiel batted her eyelashes. Oh, yeah. Should I pay you now? Or afterwards, and, what's your rate? Zell's eyes must have looked like saucers. Lena still didn't react.
$3.50 an hour, plus an extra $2 for each additional child past 3, she told him matter-of-factly.
Wow, you must make a lot of money from babysitting. Maybe you should raise your rates and go back to it, Zell. Gowrie looked over at the relieved boy. Then you wouldn't have to work for your grandpa at the university like you hate. Zell crumpled. Babysitting. Sylphiel was going to babysit for Gowrie's myriad siblings that evening. Everything was okay. Philia suddenly turned to Sylphiel.
What time are we supposed to get dressed for the pep squad?
Oh, that's right. We should be going now. Here, Gowrie, would you like to finish my fruit salad? Val loped into the cafeteria, scoping out the tables. Seeing that the spot across from Lena was free, he slid in beside Zell. Before Silphiel could argue, Val had scooped up the remaining banana bread and started eating it.
"I'll bake you another one, Gowrie. Let's go, okay, girls?"
Silphiel said softly. Amelia, Silphiel, and Philia swept out like yesterday's fashion.
"Whoa, was it something I didn't say?" Val asked with a smirk.
Philia flipped her hair flirtatiously and smiled, shouting, "See you all at the pep rally?" Val watched her leave, and then focused his attention on Lena.
"So I made it. Did I miss much?"
Zell smirked.
"Just in time for the assembly. Classes are over for the day. Your timing couldn't be better."
Val looked over at Zell.
"Who asked you, freak? I was talking to Lena. Now bug out." "I wouldn't call anyone a freak, Valley boy, with that many holes in your face," Zell sneered bravely.
Val was 3 or 4 inches taller, 50 pounds heavier, and a whole hell of a lot tougher looking.
"At least I didn't do this to myself."
"What did you say?" Val smoldered. His hands were balled into fists, and he rose to his feet to tower over Zelgadis.
"You don't intimidate me, Valley boy, especially if you can't take what you dish out."
Zell stood up as well, looking fierce and fearless. But before the two boys were allowed to turn the cafeteria into a battlefield, Lena blew. Leaping onto the table, fire burning in her eyes, Lena roared, "You idiots! What the hell is wrong with you?" She whacked both of them, so hard they were shocked into sitting down. "You're not caged animals!" she growled, looking for all the world like a wild beast herself. Then she sat down too. She went back to her meal silently, looking up mistrustfully at the two boys every once in a while. But they were both completely subdued. Lena had that effect on people. She was about as scary and controlling as they came when she wanted to be. Zelos chose this time to come in. He settled silently into Amelia's vacated seat and proceeded to make sugar tea.
"Oh, shit. Do I have to put up with that fag, too?" Val moaned.
"Val!" started Lena. Zelos simply smiled and said coolly, "I have a date tonight, Valley. What are your plans?" Zell choked on his drink. "A date?" Lena looked dubious but said nothing, not wanting to stoke the fires. Gowrie woke up.
"Where are you going?"
Zelos looked at Gowrie as if for the first time. "A new foreign restaurant called Zoma Gustav. I hear the portions are quite large."
"So, Zelly boy, who's the lucky guy?" Val taunted.
"Me! And as you can see, I'm a girl, so back off, Buster!" screamed Martina,
slamming down her lunch tray beside Zelos. Zelos winced. Val shut up. Even he was afraid of Mad Martina.
"Hear that, Lena?" Gary looked to her with a new light in his eyes. "Maybe we could go there."
Lena nearly choked on the food she'd gone back to. Had he meant it to sound the way it had? Did he just ask her out? Her heart beat so loudly it put her off her appetite a bit. But only a bit. She decided to hide her confusion and horror in her food.
Maybe? She said, before stuffing herself with multiple leftover rolls. "I mean, if it serves large portions, it can't be bad. And we both like trying new foods. Maybe Zell would want Amelia and Val to come. I mean, unless you want to go to your sister's restaurant after the fencing match instead," Gowrie said cautiously. Lena stared at Gowrie vacantly. This was the most he'd said at one time in days, and not a bit of it made sense. Then it sunk in. Of course! Gowrie and Zell's fencing match that evening. That's why Silphiel was babysitting. And all that. It ended around 7, and then they'd go out for dinner. As usual. Ah, it all made sense. Lena turned toward the happy couple. Fine with me, but maybe Zelos and Martina don't want... The more the merrier, isn't that right, Martina? Sputtered Zelos almost too quickly. Martina started to say something nasty to Lena about three's a crowd, but then considered. A perfect chance to show off. Aloud, she purred, Whatever you want, Zell dear. Zelos' smile faltered for a moment. Then he added, Then it's settled. We'll meet for dinner around 7:45. I'll take care of reservations. How many now? Lena thought for a moment, then said, The 6 of us, plus Amelia and Philia, I'm sure.
Make it 7:46, why don't you? Zell muttered, his stomach churning from the very idea of such a disaster. A huge audience. Dinner with Zelos, Val, and Martina, not to mention Philia and Amelia. Even Gowrie was a bit hard to stomach for large portions of time, and he was even one of his opponents. This was not going to be fun. Maybe he could fake his death at the match and get out of it.
What's wrong with you, Zell? Tired or depressed? Lena asked, with no sympathy. He was slumped over the table, his forehead resting on the remains of his bagel.
Are you going to eat that bagel? Gowrie began.
Or just use it as a pillow?
Lena interrupted Gowrie. Maybe someone will take pity on me and spear me with a sword first, moaned Zell.
If I have to listen to any more sarcasm out of anyone, I will personally do the skewering, and I don't do clean kills. Got it? Lena hissed, looking around and catching everyone's eyes. Good. It's settled. Let's go and cheer on the others.
Oh, joy, began Zell, catching himself just in time.
Lena still gave him a look that petrified him.
Hey, wait a minute. I don't want to see some stupid preppies blather on about how great they are. Val protested vehemently. Yeah, Gowrie said, already falling in step behind Lena. But what about the cheerleaders? Do you really want to miss the...
Lena gave both of the suddenly enthusiastic boys a withering glance. But let them be. If it motivated Val... She could allow it. The gym was dark and crowded, like a zoo at nightfall. Lena and her troop filed in between mindlessly cheering multitudes and found an area of unoccupied bleachers that they could cram themselves into. It was a tight squeeze. Lena wedged between Gowrie and Val, Zell, Zelos, and Martina at their feet. Martina knew all the cheers. She had tried out every year, but she was seriously uncoordinated. But that didn't keep her from trying her hardest to follow along. Zelos had to duck her flailing arms and enthusiastic jumping. Zell would have murdered her, but didn't want to call any more attention to himself than he had to. He hoped Lena would do it for him. But Lena had her own problems. Val had sidled up to her even closer than he was actually forced to, and was whispering something in her ear. She had to constantly push him away without pushing him into the people on his other side or snagging her hand on any of his assorted chains and spikes. Gowrie appeared to be asleep. Zell thought he would throw up. Then the assembly began. Martina realized she had to be on the floor shortly and pushed her way past the chaotic mass of squirming, squealing people to get to the chairs by the stage where the other candidates waited. That was a relief. But it was short-lived, as the assistant principal walked up to the spotlighted podium and began to yell into the microphone for silence. Although his words could barely be distinguished under the feedback and cheering noise, there seemed to be some trouble with the sound system. So the cheerleaders did what they did best. They led the crowd in some jolly good cheering. It was somewhere in the stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight part that the seating arrangement became confused. Lena and Zell had stood up, but when it came to sitting down, they found they had lost their seats. "That's all right. You can share mine," Val grinned. Grasping her by the waist, he plunked her down into his lap. "Better, right? And you can see now, too. I'm such a gentleman." Lena blushed. "I hope my hair gets caught in his eyebrow ring and rips it off." Meanwhile, Zell was just hopelessly blocking the view. He was stranded. No way he could sit in some stranger's lap. And the alternative was Zellos. Nuff said. "Sit down, freak. You're blocking the view," Val yelled at him, rousing Gowrie from his stupor. Gowrie saw Lena on Val's lap and became inspired. Zell suddenly found himself soaring sickeningly backwards and up onto something relatively soft. He was eye to eye with Lena, who looked like he felt. "Now you can see, and Val can see too, right?" Gowrie asked from the space immediately above Zell's head. Zell could see Val, too, and after one look from his yellow eyes, he knew what had happened. Lena watched with morbid fascination as Zell began to hyperventilate, then pass out. He wasn't conscious to hear Gowrie say, "Whoa, Lena, what happened to Zell?" Or Val say, "Maybe he got his wish and died." And he was blissfully unaware of being unceremoniously lifted over the crowd and carried off by Gowrie and Zellos. "Why do I get the feet?" Zellos whined as they made their way to the nurse's office. When Zell came to, he was surrounded by Lena and co. No air even then. "What happened to me?" he moaned. He had a headache, and he'd taken all his stress with him into dreamland. "You hyperventilated and passed out," Lena informed him with a bored air, chin in hands.
"I told you, you couldn't skip breakfast or lunch," Amelia cried, as if it had been a matter of life or death.
Zell ignored her. His embarrassment came rushing back to him in a wave of nausea, and he almost passed out again. Philia had taken the bus home to the Seafeed settlement, but had promised to return for the fencing match and dinner party. Lena turned her attention to Zellos, and didn't see Gowrie and Val leave, skateboards in hand. "And, thanks for sending Martina home and not forcing her on me in close quarters. Did you hear her platform? It was based on me, student body president, out to get even with Lena for some imagined pain I caused her. Why are you going out with her anyway?" "She said yes," Zello snickered a little. "Actually, I missed her speech when I was carrying out Zelgadis."
"But you heard mine, didn't you? I was very forceful and substantial," began Amelia breathlessly.
Lena ignored her and continued. "And Val owes both of you guys an apology, especially you, Zellos. Whichever way you or any of us swing is not deserving of name-calling, particularly by friends."
"It's all right, Lena. He's not the only one."
Zellos looked serious for a moment, not meeting Lena's stare, then looked up wistfully.
"So I'm officially one of your friends, too?"
Lena gulped. "You'd think he never had a friend before," she thought.
I don't have any friends here at school. Ah, gods, she thought. And then aloud she said, Yeah, sure, but do me a favor and do something about Martina, okay? Zelos grinned. Speaking of Val, where did they get off to? Lena walked to the window. Below, Gowrie and Val were showing off moves on their skateboards, Sylphiel watching. Ah, there they are. I'll be back, but first I have a bone to pick with Val. Gowrie too, for that matter. In the meantime, Amelia had returned with a glass of orange juice. Please, Mr. Silgottis, the nurse insisted you drink something, and this says freshly squeezed.
About 6 months ago, by Cuban refugees. Barefoot. Zell began sarcastically, but looking up at Amelia's big blue eyes melted something in his rock-hard heart. And so he added quickly, thank you, Amelia. I'm sure it's fine.
Then he drank it. He felt better immediately, and so stood up to watch the I Love Lena show outside.
Guys, you should see this. Watch and learn. It could be you someday. Zell chuckled.
Zelos and Amelia stood next to Zell and together watched the pantomime enacted below, as narrated by Zelgottis.
Lena smiles to catch them off guard. They are thinking, everything's okay again. But watch now. All right. Lena approaches her first victim, who is Val, the creep. So, she's working up a sweat now, face getting redder, fangs gleaming, and if we could open the window, I'm sure we could hear her from here. Now, watch her handiwork. Right fist up and, ooh, he is good. The stomach. Poor Val. Doubled over onto the ground. Hit his head on his board, too? Not so tough, eh? Okay, one down. Oh, look, Gowrie's on the run. Will he get away? No. Lena's in the air, and she has Gowrie in a headlock, pounding away. Oh, it's not a pretty sight, sports fans.
Zelgottis moved away from the window.
I think Lena's on her way back.
Sylphiel's comforting her, Gowrie dear, and Val's sitting up alive.
Damn it. Anyway.
Lena was returning. Zelos, why are you rolling around giggling on the floor for... you fruitcake? Amelia, are you crying or laughing? Zell, what did you say to her this time?
Screamed Lena as she re-entered the nurse's office.
Zell sobered up instantly when he realized he wasn't wearing his all-concealing hooded sweatshirt. He was frantically looking around for it when Amelia approached him tentatively. She was cradling his carefully folded sweatshirt in her arms.
Are you looking for this? The nurse removed it to cool you down. You can have it back now.
He snatched it from her, murmuring a thank you. He was so embarrassed. His gray t-shirt revealed some of his scars. He dressed quickly and zipped up. Feeling secure again, he said his goodbyes and started to leave.
Odd, he thought. It smells like Amelia's perfume.
He blushed at the recognition. It was, however, strangely comforting on his long walk home.